T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday, guys, as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks up in Kennesaw. The countdown is on. You guys hear that little clock in the background? It's like 24. Doop, doop, doop. That's Mike. Counting down, you know, to 7 o'clock,
you know,
tonight.
This is ridiculous. And by the way, you know, you got I'm the only guy in the office who takes vacation. Craig's gone around the world. He's sponged off women in 6 continents. Okay, in the last 2 years, you know. But because I've got this European vacation, which, by the way, I don't even fly out till tomorrow. Okay, I mean,
first,
like,
class?
I'm jetting to the
first
airport.
First class. First class.
No, I'm a man of the people. Okay.
Business class.
Something like that. But anyway, yes, you know, it is pretentious when you say I'll be going to Venice and Lake Como and then to Monaco. I agree with you, but again.
And driving in the Swiss Alps, right?
You know what? All I can say to you kids out there is, you know, pay attention at school.
Take your vitamins, say your prayers,
and someday you can have a cool job like Mike and Carl. What do you want from me? Anyway, guys, dog report coming up. And then we're going to get into this conversation about this jackleg New York Times writer who, I think, accurately described our soccer team, but inaccurately depicted the city of Atlanta.
I totally agree. And, you know, we're asking you today, 404-741-0929, how has things with this city changed for you, the perception of this city? Or has it always been cool? From the time you got here, whether you got here in the late 80s, early 90s, or the early 2000s, or maybe you're just 5 years in, you know, from the time you got here. And I have to tell you, in my years of coming to Atlanta, and I've said this, my dad was from Georgia originally, we'd come see Grandma. Atlanta was the place we'd come. We went to Old Fulton County Stadium to see the Braves back in the day. And so, you know, it was always, there was a fascination with it. But, Mike, as I said, I think after 96, the boom really happened, and a lot of people realized just how cool and what was going on, the vibe here. Right. And then you had a bunch of transplants from all over the country, for that matter, all over the world, because that exposure that the city got during the Olympics really changed the dynamics of the city and the makeup right. of it. So with that said, I just think we live in one of the coolest cities in America. And it's not because I live here. Prior to me living here, I felt that Atlanta was a place that I could and want to live.
And it's amazing, though, because I got here in 98, and to see the Buckhead skyline grow, to see the Midtown Atlanta skyline grow.
And it's growing like crazy
now. When I got here, Atlanta was based on how they use a combination of the census and other measurables. But we were number 11 when I got here. We're going to be number 8 as far as media markets. We're a top 10 media market. We're probably going to surpass at some point Boston.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got so much so many good things going on. And the author of the article, yes, he accurately described what's going on in the Bend and the vibe down there. But I think, yes, there are fans who felt adrift because they couldn't connect with the Falcons because maybe a previous allegiance. Or maybe there's a generation of guys who don't connect with the NFL. They like soccer. You know, that's their passion. Or, you know, as we said, if you didn't go to one of the SEC or ACC schools, you know, man, you don't necessarily have that vibe. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to my buddy, JP. I haven't seen this crazy knucklehead in forever. This guy used to run the streets of Buckhead with me back in the day.
And I understand why. I understand
why. You
know
what he kind of looks like? He kind of looks like the guy that beats Stallone in Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie.
Oh, yeah, he kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's a maniac. But anyway, good to see JP up here on the North End, and hopefully the warrant is not still good in Cobb County. But, no, getting back to the big city, and we will get to the dog report in just a second, talking about Jake. Carl, we know what we've got, and we don't have to sit here on the radio and tell Atlanta people how great the city of Atlanta is. It's just the kind of stuff, unfortunately, you come to expect when somebody comes from out of town, especially with a Northeastern paper, and they just play those cliches. Oh,
yeah.
Corporate, you know, it's corporate, it's concrete sprawl, it's traffic. We're not a city defined by traffic.
No.
Yes, you could argue that we missed out on planning better for infrastructure 25, 30 years ago, but we're not the only city in that boat.
Nobody knew the boom was going to happen the way it did. But, Mike, no, I don't think that we need to tell people who live here how great our city is, but I think we need to realize that the message you tell people is how people view the city.
Now, if this author talked to one hipster who felt, I don't know, he felt that he just couldn't connect with Atlanta sports, okay, that's on him. But, I mean, there's a lot of great people here that are Falcon fans like us who also jumped on United.
Right.
Because we've slowly but surely, it took me almost 25, 30 years to appreciate soccer, and I'm still learning the intricacies of the difference between a midfielder and a defender. But it's the greatest sports vibe in the city. I'll put the United game over a Falcons game for energy.
Well, the energy is certainly different. I will say this, at a Falcons, and here's the issue with and I'm not even going to call it an issue, but if you were to go to a Falcons playoff game, the vibe is as electric.
Right.
I will say, though, that I do think the economics that played out with Mercedes-Benz Stadium took some hardcore fans that couldn't afford to be in the stadium,
right,
that were willing to be there every Sunday, cheer their hearts out, passionate fans that just simply couldn't afford to be there, that they're out of the equation now. So we're going to see, and I think over the next few years, last year was the first year, we're all in the stadium going, okay, what's this vibe? What's it going to be? Well, I got to go check out all the bars. I'm not necessarily going to be in my seats.
Right.
That's going to calm down. Okay, we're eventually going to say, all right, I know I've seen everything. Mm-hmm. I want to watch the game, and hopefully the product is good enough that we are, you know, enthralled with it. But, Mike, I think that was part of what we sensed last year. With United, it's new.
Right.
It's new.
And it's our thing right from the jump because, as you said, if you were a Bears fan or a Giants fan and you come to Atlanta, okay, you maybe have a hard time getting with the Falcons. But guess what? Now I think it's a lot easier for those same clowns that buy Kobe jerseys or Cowboys jerseys or Yankee hats,
right,
to get with our program because we're an exciting brand of football. Unfortunately, our offense took a step backwards last year. But we're a perennial contender now in the NFL, so hopefully that will drive more interest here consistently. But, Carl, you know, if you're the Braves – I got to be honest with you. The Braves don't necessarily connect with everybody in this town.
No, but you know what does, and we know this, winning. And I agree with you when you say, what is the vibe? I know we had a lot of our listeners who live in the city, okay, Fulton County, who said, listen, I don't necessarily agree with the Braves moving out to Cobb. I don't want it to happen. I don't know how many games I'm going to go to now moving forward. And I get all of that. And it's a shame the city couldn't make it work at the TED. That ship has sailed. But I will tell you this. If the Braves currently as constructed start to win and win big, and I know some of us have been here and spoiled all these years when they were winning, but this is something new. And we may have the best player in baseball eventually in Ronald Acuna. We've never had that. And if we have, it's been a very long time since Chipper was in his prime where you could go, every night I'm going to watch the best player. Or for that matter, every fifth day I'm going to watch one of the best pitchers.
I'm going to see three Cy Young Award winners,
you know,
in a rotation.
So yeah. I just think that winning cures that. But I do agree with you. There's some disconnect there, but it's nothing that winning won't cure. I think with the United, it's new, it's fresh. And I'm going to tell you this, Mike. As much as we love the games and we go and we're season ticket holders and all of that, I don't know if the vibe would be the same if we didn't have the start we had and the team wasn't constructed the way it is. If this was a boring product, I don't know what this vibe would be.
But that's one of the things the article got right. Arthur and Darren Eales realized, look, if we're gonna score one, if it's going to be a one-goal game, let's make it a 4-3 as opposed to a 1-0 game because style makes the fight. And for especially in a hardcore football town, you've got to have that sex appeal of offense.
Yes.
Because that's the one knock for the people who don't understand soccer. I mean, you can have a 0-0 draw and have some unbelievable moments, but if you're not a soccer fan, you don't get it. So Arthur got it. We knew we were going to have a great time with this. People were bananas. But there's also the demographics. It's younger. It's hipper millennials. Yeah, it's not just hipster, you know, D-bags. It's good people. Your family's there. It's everybody in the city. And you've seen it with the footy mob and with all the different groups, Terminus Legion, et cetera, Faction, which was mentioned in the article. I just think one thing for certain, I wish that Braves fans and Falcon fans would be as intense and into the game as United fans.
Yeah, and that's something that we've got to work on as a city. I will tell you this, though. The perception of our city is how you sell it, what you tell your friends, and ultimately these bullcorn articles that get half of it right and the other half wrong, that's the perception. And until you come and see for yourself, I've said this, you know, until you go to somewhere and see it for yourself, you don't know. So all I know is what you tell me. And if you tell me, for example, Chicago's the murder capital of the United States,
right,
more black people are getting killed there, that's all I hear, and then I go to Chicago and see what a wonderful city it is and what it has to offer, Mike. That's what we're talking about here, and I just think it's more than sprawl and the airport and traffic. 404-741-0929 is the number for you to hit us up, and you can text us as well. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks. Let's get to the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, Mike, what's going on with who got injured with the dogs?
All right, man. By now, most of you guys have heard the story. But Jake Fromm, you know, he's a big outdoorsman, loves to go hunting and fishing. He was down on the south side, I mean way down south. He was fishing, and apparently, I don't know how this went down or if somebody else cast the line, but he got a fish hook right in his leg.
Yikes.
Yeah, the picture, by the way, if you saw that, I mean, looks like something from, like, Dumb and Dumber. But, yeah, so that
– By the way, what's he fishing for? That's a pretty – big artificial bait.
Based on that, it's great white sharks, apparently, in Adel, Georgia. But he got that hook in his leg. Another Instagram story showed Fromm was at the Cook Medical Center, likely to have the fishing lure removed from his leg. This is from Dog Nation. It showed the account of Jordan Rowe, a buddy of his. So, yeah, look, now you get a better picture. You see how high up on the thigh. You got a little bit of meat right there, man.
Yeah.
That's going to need more than just back teen.
That's the problem. It's not going to keep him out from the start of the season.
Oh, no, this will. Here we go. Let's start the rumors right now.
But he's got to get some treatment.
I heard Fromm got bit by a piranha, and he got the hook in his leg. I heard Fields is going to start. I'll hang up and listen, Carl.
Well, actually, it was piranha did attack him, and then he killed the piranha with his bare hands, is what
Look,
Jake Fromm
the guy
did.
Loves to do his thing out there in the outdoors. He'll be fine. But, yeah, it's a pretty funny photo, and being a tough guy that he is, he took it in stride.
All right, man, the other big story we've been talking about today, in college football at least, is that Tua Tagovailoa told a bunch of 7th and 8th graders back in his native Hawaii that before the national championship game, he actually was thinking about transferring. And now, after seeing how that game played out, everybody's like, what? What is this guy talking about? But think about the circumstances. He's on the bench. You know, you're a highly recruited quarterback.
You know, he probably knows as an athlete he's a better thrower
probably
than Jalen Hurts, although Jalen Hurts might have been a better fit. And obviously Jalen Hurts' resume was amazing, only lost twice.
Well, and so, you know, the idea of hearing this now, he says, even though my football season, even throughout my football season, he says, I wasn't the starter, he told the students, I wanted to leave the school. So I told myself if I didn't play in the last game, which was the national championship game, I would transfer. Now, my question is, was Nick Saban aware of this? Because isn't it ironic that they're down at halftime and all of a sudden here comes Tua Tagovailoa?
And we talked to Calvin Ridley and they said, yeah, they were ready to go. We spoke, if you guys remember, we had a bunch of conversations with a bunch of tied defensive players.
Ridley made me laugh when he
said
we didn't
know. Hand was like, yeah, we had no idea. We're like, oh, whoa. Tagovailoa's out there. But you knew that they had to throw the football, much like the Falcons in the Super Bowl, which we were just unfortunately forced to watch on NFL Network. I mean, Georgia was in high cotton, man. They were on top of the world. You throw the backup in there, and he makes plays. Now, I don't know if Jalen Hurts couldn't – let's separate the fact from the fiction.
He doesn't make
Hurts
that play?
Hurts couldn't do the things that he does throwing the football.
Well,
that's not what he's – and Georgia was better equipped to stop Hurts' mobility than the throwing of Tagovailoa.
Well, here's the other thing, and I think a lot of people just have either forgotten or not given Kirby Smart credit. Smart knew Jalen Hurts' strengths. Think about how the first half played out and the defensive scheme
right.
in which Georgia played. They weren't giving him those little quick passes. They were making him read defenses. Mm-hmm. And then if it wasn't there, they knew he was going to tuck it. And then you had Roquan and company
Open
running
field
after
tackles, big tackles.
I think the game plan that Kirby put together, Mike, played as much into how well Jalen Hurts didn't play mm-hmm. in that game, as well as you know, he couldn't have done the things that Tagovailoa came in. And that's another part. When he comes in, now you're scrambling because you're going, all right, what does he do well?
Well, pretty much everything.
Well, now you know, but you're going, okay, can we play him the same way? Well, obviously you couldn't. So I just think that's something that may be lost in translation, but I thought Kirby and company did a great job of being prepared for Jalen, and they thought, hey, we're going to shut him down. They did.
Well, the defense, I mean, think about the hole and the threat of the needle on that throw to Calvin Ridley in the back of the end zone, you know, which gets you in overtime. I mean, he made a play that I don't think there's probably 90% of the end. And that's what's so impressive. In his first real substantive work
right.
you know, for Alabama, he made a throw that 90% of the other college quarterbacks can't make. It's our Dog Report with some Bama thrown in, brought to you by BrightBox. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. Get that ultimate man cave you always wanted, guys, and make sure your house is protected from thunderstorms. Get that surge protection as well. The visit is free for the time being when you call 770-901-2500.
Coming up, our interview with goaltender Brad Guzan, but first, a chance for you to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Sparkle. S-P-A-R-K-L-E. Sparkle.
Who picked that word?
Text it to 72881. That's 72881. They all can't be masculine, Mike. Sparkle.
Well, remember, this is a contest that's nationwide for top 40 stations, for hip-hop stations, for sports talk stations. Sparkle. Sparkle. To 72881. That's Sparkle to 72881. And good luck. And by the way, if you're at the bar, yeah, you guys can get on this. Sparkle goes to 72881. You got a few minutes to text it in. Good luck.
All right, coming up, we had a chance to catch up with our goaltender. He's back and will be in goal on Sunday as the United take on the Red Bulls. You'll hear Brad Guzan, but you'll also hear some other guys coming up on Dukes and Bell.
By the way, I want to give a shout out to my buddy JP. This guy used to run the streets of Buckhead with me back in the day.
And I understand why.
He kind of looks like the guy that beats Stallone in Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie.
Oh, yeah, he kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's a maniac.
Dr. Lee, for years, you got no chance. You know that? You know that?
Come on, Hawk.
You got no power, Hawks. Go off, I'm going to give you a world of hurt, little man.
One of the finest guys in the business, Frank Caliendo, friend of the show, stopping by at 520. Make sure you are here. That will happen right after the Falcon Report. Right now, though, we want you to get a chance to hear our goalie, Brad Guzan, who's back in goal on Sunday. He was suspended, obviously, after picking up that red card. And Mike and I started off by asking him, all right, Brad, what happened? Tell us what the deal is.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it was probably a red card. There's no real arguing that part of it. But, in that moment of the game, it's a split decision. You've got basically, half a second to make a decision what you're going to do. Unfortunately, I was a step too late, and I ended up taking the guy as opposed to the ball. So, unfortunately, as you mentioned, I missed last week. The guys were great in Orlando, got a great result, and we're looking to carry that momentum into Sunday.
Brad, if there was a silver lining, at least you didn't have to stand in net with those mutants behind you in Orlando City.
For sure. Yeah, it was a crazy atmosphere down there, but the guys were, like I said, the guys were great, and it was a huge result for us.
Hey, is Parkhurst with you, by the way? He's in the car?
Yeah, he's boring me. He's here. He can hear you guys.
Just punch him in the arm.
Well, here's...
I know, right? And Sal's here, too. We're just enjoying a nice drive down the highway.
All right. What's up, fellas? It's good to have you guys on. Parkhurst, this question is for you, Brad, but I want Parkhurst to hear this because we've been talking to a variety of guys, and they've been telling us part of the reason why you guys have been so good defensively is because Parkhurst and his communication. You're involved in that as well. Tell us what's going on with the communication and why that's so important.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's straighten things out. It's definitely not because of Parkhurst, all right? we need to stop giving him all that credit. No, I mean, like you mentioned, the communication is a huge part of it. We have a pretty good understanding of the strengths and the weaknesses of the guys around us. And as I've said before, right, these guys in front of me do a great job of limiting the strikers that we go up against week in and week out. And it makes my job easier. And part of that is reading the game and having that communication. If you're able to put out dangerous situations before they become a problem, that makes things a lot easier. And having guys like Parkey be able to do that, it makes my life a little bit easier on a match day.
I don't think it's a coincidence. He missed Sunday, and defensively, I thought we got on fine. So.
I agree with you, Parkhurst.
Captain Michael Parkhurst right there giving his two cents worth. Yeah, him and LGP made Brad basically irrelevant.
Yeah.
As they joined us live on the WageFord.com hotline en route to a soccer clinic on the south part
Parkhurst
of town.
Is like, give me that phone.
Get in there. Hey, man, the thing about Red Bull, man, how much tape do you look at? Because I know they've got a guy that's one of the better scorers in the league. How much prep goes into, like, film work as you get ready for these guys Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, no more than usual. We'll look at some film. We'll look at some video. How they like to play, formation, all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about making plays. And as you mentioned, someone like Bradley Wright Phillips, who's a known goal scorer, he can punish you from anywhere in and around the box. So it's going to be important. We keep an eye on him on Sunday night. But we've always felt confident playing at Mercedes-Benz, and we know that when teams come there, come here to play us, that they're in for a difficult night, and Sunday night's going to be no different.
Brad, do you care? 3-5-2, 4-3-3. I know we've gone back and forth with the success we've had in different formations this year. Does that stuff matter to you guys as far as the attack and how Tata plans to go into matches?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, right, it's 11v11 unless I'm getting sent off. But, it's 11v11, and, like I said, you've got to make plays. And so the formation, it gives you an idea of how you want to play and how you want to go about the game. But with the attacking players that we have, we know that as a defensive unit, that if we do our job for most of the 90 minutes, that we're going to give our attacking players that ability, that opportunity to go and win us the game. And that happens more often than not. And so at the end of the day, like you mentioned, a 3-4-3, 3-5-2, however you wanna call it. You know, we've got the pieces in place to be able to go from one formation to the other without missing a beat, and that at the same time we're able to punish teams and put the ball in the back of the net.
It is our man, Brad Guzan, from the U.S. Men's National Team, obviously goalkeeper for United here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, we've got a big article in the New York Times, and Darren Eales gets a big write-up, and the fans get a big write-up. I think the NYCFC felt like a playoff game. I thought we're better than Sporting KFC, the way I call them. After you got sent off, we were able to control the flow even though we lost. Brad, do you feel you're the best team in MLS?
We feel that we're up there. You know, we know that on any given day we can compete with any team in this league, that we can win any game in this league. We know that. And for us, it's about trying now to be consistent. It's about trying to put performances together week in and week out that allows us to move forward and build on the success that we've had, you know, early this season. So, you know, it's down to consistency. We know that part's not easy, and that's what we're striving to do. We're trying to be a team that, every time we step on the field, every week we're out there, that we're going to put together a performance that we can be proud of, and ultimately it gets us a good result.
All right, I got to ask this to the entire group in the car that's headed down to Warner Robins Air Force Base for a youth soccer clinic. How do you coach these kids up? I mean, is it Parkey going, get back in line and kick the ball again? How do you coach these kids?
He's always yelling. He's always yelling, you know. We're just going down there for a good time, have some fun, interact with the kids. Yeah, we're really excited, but I know I gotta keep him in line. He's always yelling.
Hopefully, there's some goalkeepers amongst these kids, because Brad can't coach field players.
Yeah, man.
I'm just there for the entertainment value. Yeah.
He's just gonna show the kids off those big oven mitts that the goalkeepers get to wear.
Exactly.
Hey, man, the language thing. I know we've asked you about this before, but it's funny reading the article today in the New York Times. I mean, everybody, it just seems like, does everyone appreciate just how cool the vibe is right now? Or I would imagine nobody's taking it for granted, especially all the guys that have been around soccer for much of their career.
Yeah, I mean, we know at the moment that we're in a good place, right? But it's a long season, and there's a lot of games to be played still. We're not getting overly excited. We feel good. We feel good at training throughout the week leading up to games. And ultimately, when we step across that white line, it feels natural, and that's the most important thing, right? We want to make sure that what we're doing isn't something that's fabricated or fake. We want to make sure that when we're out there, we're going about our business in a professional manner, and making sure that after 90 minutes, we're hopefully getting 3 points.
What do you think of Miles Robinson and his play? Young kid coming in, playing well so far for you guys.
Yeah, and Miles has been great. You know, it's obviously year two for him, and I think he's made great strides in terms of, you know, in individual performances, but also understanding how we want to play as a group and as a team, and being able to slot right in and without us missing a beat. And so that's a credit to him and all the guys, really. I mean, we've got all the confidence in the world in anybody that puts on the field in terms of stepping on the field and getting the job done for us.
And that's the thing, is Brad Guzan and a bunch of guys from United on their way to the South Side join us here live in the car. And Sal Zizzo, everybody else, Loretta would say hi to everybody for us. But how about the attitude? I mean, like Vijalba, you know, he's coming off the bench. It seems like everybody's got their head in the right spot because we have a wealth of talent that not everybody can be on the pitch.
Yeah, and that's important, right? I mean, we create this atmosphere, this environment where there's competition for places on the field. And when you have that, it gets the best out of everybody. Whether you're playing for 90 minutes, you're coming on and you're only playing 15, 20 minutes, you know, you want to get the best out of everybody at all times. And I think when you've got guys pushing each other in practice, ultimately it's going to make the team better.
Brad, all right, take us behind the scenes real quick before we let you go. You get the red card. Where did you watch the rest of the game? Where did you go? What did you do?
I don't know. Don't know if I can tell you everything that I did afterwards, but
come on, man.
Obviously, I was a bit frustrated that I, you know, I had let my teammates down and let the team down. I think I ended up watching the second half with the guys that weren't in the 18 that day,
right?
In one of the boxes upstairs. But you know, it was a frustrating rest of the rest of the game for me, as it was for the guys on the field, just because, you know, when you're playing down a man against a good team, it's never easy. So, you know, you feel like you let those guys down. You feel frustrated. But at the same time, you know, I was proud of the way they carried on and put in a great effort.
He was booking his vacation for last weekend.
It's the Goose.
It was Mother's Day. Oh, it was Mother's Day.
Parkhurst. It's Goose and Parky. It's like Rick and Morty, but it's Goose and Parky. Hey, man, well, we love getting the insight, man. Best of luck against the Red Bulls, and all of Atlanta will be watching, guys. Be safe on the road.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys.
All right, man, we'll holler at you. Be safe.
Such a great vibe. So cool to get the guys in the car. I know a lot of United fans are going, you got to play that again, because they were laughing here in Parkhurst, like throwing his shots in there. We'll talk to our man, Steve Koonin, CEO of your Atlanta Hawks. Guys, if you're in the car, get off the highway. If you're coming down to SunTrust from the north, we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. The boss from the Hawks tells us what went down to pick the new coach and what's up with Schroeder next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Koonin from Kumho Tire. Better always on Dukes and Bell.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. All right, guys, for Falcon fans, listen up. Our Falcon report's coming up at 5. But here's the deal. A few weeks ago, I came on this show and I told you guys I was a little concerned about Julio scrubbing his Instagram. And many of you said, Dukes, you're crazy.
Dukes, you're crazy.
I said, there's something to this, Mike Bell.
I said, there's nothing to this, Carl.
And that's what Mike said. Guess what? Julio wants an update to his contract. Exactly.
Sir, we're on the radio. We need you to stop the expletives within microphone range, sir.
All right.
Please.
So we're going to talk about this at 5 o'clock.
Oh, I'm already on. I'm so upset about this right now. I'm going to explode.
This is coming from Ian Rapoport. He will not be at OTAs next week.
Oh, I thought we were going to have Julio and Matt making a connection. Well, I got to save it for 5. We're cutting into Puffy K time.
Yeah, but Mike, it gets back to our conversation. When all of you folks said, Dukes, you're out of your mind.
Dukes, you're out of your mind.
Nothing to this.
Nothing to this.
I'm telling you, there was something to it. Now, with that said, that's coming your way in less than 20 minutes. Steve Koonin, the Hawks CEO, it's been a great week as they introduced their new head coach. And we had Lloyd Pierce on. For those who missed it, we're going to replay it for you coming up at 6:20. It was earlier this week. He was tremendous. I think, you know, from the energy, the attitude, the approach, the Hawks have something working here. Now, we won't know whether or not, you know, he can win 50 games and take us where we need to go until that moment. But the fact of the matter is, for right now, Mike, I think he's the right hire. And Steve Koonin, we welcome you in because last week we had you on this show and we
you
said,
couldn't give us the exclusive.
Is it a done deal? And you said, no.
And 3 hours later, it was.
Oh, where's the exclusivity?
Let me be polite. If you want to talk about dysfunction on another Atlanta sports team, you're welcome to take my time.
It's very nice.
Steve Koonin, the CEO of the Atlanta Hawks, brought to you by Kumho Tires, joins us if we're live here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Falcon Report, as Carl mentioned, coming up. So what do you think of the new coach, Steve, Lloyd Pierce?
Oh, I think he checks every box that we've had and more. He's developed young players. He developed young stars. He has relationships with dynamic free agents in the future. I think that you guys know he's good on the radio. He's good in media. We need to continue to connect with our fans. I don't know if you guys have been looking at the papers or reading. We've given more exposure of what's going on at the Combine than we've ever have. Great articles today talking about the interview process of players and players that we're interviewing. We release things. We're going to have more visibility into who's working out into Atlanta and when. And it's all part of being able to connect with the community and let the fans in on everything that's going on.
It is Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. As far as this upcoming draft, I don't know what the rules are. You tell me if you can't say anything. But this Luka Doncic situation, who is one of the prospects in the upcoming draft, lots of conversation being made about him and the EuroLeague, and like no decision's been made on whether or not he wants to come to the NBA. Do you buy that? Is this a leverage move by a potential prospect?
Of course it is. If you're not going to use leverage now, and you're maybe the only one with leverage, when are you ever going to use it? So I think I've kind of had this transition from fan to NBA executive. Executive. Right. And right now is when the work starts. We have not been able to talk to players. We have only been able to buy seats and sit in the stands and watch these guys. So my coaching to a lot of our dear friends and my son, if you're listening, or any of my buddies who are listening, don't believe every mock draft. Nobody had Baker Mayfield going first. Nobody.
Oh, we did.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Not even
close. Yeah,
we
well, not I mean,
after,
thought he was the best quarterback
on the Friday after.
We liked him better than all the other quarterbacks, much like Deshaun Watson previously, just because he had done more. But real quick, Steve, the thing about Doncic, I guess he wants to perhaps, if it's innocent enough, he wants to just let the Real Madrid fans know he's committed to whatever this championship is they play for over there and not worried about his future in the NBA.
And although, possibly trying to warn off some people for taking him. Who knows? You know, but now comes the fun part, the rumor, the mock draft, the innuendo, the needs. I mean, that's what makes it great, and it's what made the NBA a 12-month sport.
It is true. Luka Doncic is one of the potential prospects that the Hawks are looking at. They're looking at everybody. Guys, we have the third overall pick, pick 19, pick 30, and then the fourth pick in the second round, which is pick 34. So as Mike and I have said, this could be a transformative draft for our Atlanta Hawks, and we're hoping that Travis Link and company can do that and put us on the right, you know, the right path. Steve, these NBA playoffs, Mike says that the NBA will not allow LeBron to lose a game three this weekend. They are down 2-0. The other series in the Western Conference is tied up in one apiece. I do think that one goes seven, and I'm talking about the Warriors-Rockets series. I don't believe that the Cavs-Boston series goes seven.
Well, I certainly am not going to dignify Mr. Bell's accusation that the NBA is anything but impartial, because the NBA, as a former TV executive, trust me, there were many a game that we wish and many a series that we wish would have gone the other way. So, Mike, with all due respect, love, affection, and 20-year friendship, you're full of it. you know,
it's our man Steve Kuhn, by the way, with his
done. It's held home, you know, home court advantage. That's all they've done. You know, and it's not easy to win on the road. And I think that Boston-Cleveland has a real shot of going seven, a real shot of going seven. It's pretty fascinating to watch the Warriors. They play three great games and then kind of turn to a puddle on the fourth game. And it's happened in the series so far. So I think these are both really good series. And I don't think anybody can argue they're the four best teams right now in the league.
Steve Kuhn is with us here, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Steve's in his palatial office studio somewhere in downtown.
I am in a kayak on the river getting my exercise.
Hey, Steve, the idea of Dennis Schroeder sticking around now, we're not trying to, you know, get you to on the spot, but as much as you could be forthcoming, we'd love Dennis to stick around. If maximum effort is there night in, night out. He's only 24. He's in a manageable NBA contract, but he's an exasperating athlete at times.
No speak of English. Things get lost in translation.
All right. There Steve Koenig confirms, Carl, that the Schroeder's to be traded.
Listen.
Oh, God.
Steve,
what did I do to deserve
that? All right, but Steve, let me ask you this, okay? Moving forward, okay? And by the way, Lloyd Pierce came on the show, and Coach Pierce said, listen, I haven't had a chance to sit and visit with him. He said he reached out to everybody, what you expect the new head coach to do. But what is the conversation that the organization has with Dennis Schroeder? He said on his social media, I'm waiting to have this conversation with the organization to see where we're going.
And he lands next Wednesday in Atlanta, and there'll be plenty of conversations. And we've talked to Dennis, and I think Dennis, I do think that something got lost in translation. I truly do.
Okay. Yeah, because, well, listen, I just found
Dennis wanted to sign a long-term contract here. He did sign a long-term contract. And, you know, until we, you know, Dennis is a starting point guard. Dennis has the greatest heart of any player I've ever met. I mean, he wants to win worse than anything you can imagine. And sometimes that competitiveness and that zeal can create some frustration. And we've seen it a few times with Dennis. We've seen it in the game. We've seen it around the game. And, you know, now we're seeing some in the summer, but I think it comes from a good place. And he is 24 years old.
Yeah, but I mean, the fans don't see it that way, Steve. When you hear a guy say that, I think he thinks there are more exciting things happening in places like Indianapolis, and basically intimates the franchise that's giving him some good money is going the other direction. I don't think that bodes very well for his future here.
Again, I appreciate that, and we're going to work on our translations and make sure that we're aligned. And you know, the good news is this is the team has the opportunity to make the decision. Unfortunately, that you know, we have players who want to be here. We might have a player who doesn't want to be here, but we want to build a locker room with players who want to be here and be committed. And Dennis has been committed every day he's been here. So, you know, I think this is possibly akin to the Julio thing. That's my comment to start our conversation today, gentlemen.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, all we can go on is what information is out there. I can't wait to hear, and hopefully we will next week as Dennis comes to town, what the management has to say as far as moving forward with him and if he's buying into the new movement, which is our new Atlanta Hawks with a new head coach. Steve, we appreciate you as always. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Did I hear Mike's going out of the country?
Yes, for about 45 days.
But Steve, you know, it's just a little vacation, taking the lady to a little trip to northern Italy and south of France. That's all.
Oh, well, if you swing by Germany, give Dennis a call.
Well played.
All right.
Well played.
I'll get him some Hawks Lederhosen.
Hey, take care, my man. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks,
take
brother.
Care, guys. Everybody have a great weekend.
You too. Steve Kooning, guys, on the waitfor.com hotline. All right, we'll find out more about that situation, but we're finding out more about Julio.
Well, back in three weeks ago or however long ago when Julio scrubbed his Instagram and his social media, I said nothing to see here. I said Vaughn McClure is a muckraker, Carl. He's trying to make a story here. Now Ian Rappaport from NFL Network throwing it down that Julio wants to be paid a little bit more to be catching the football for the Falcons.
And he's not expected to be at OTAs. We will get into this next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.